So here we go. Mo'ahavti sorasecha kol yom misichasi. How I love your Torah all day long, I'm able to talk about it. And the show that somebody loves something is the ability to talk about it all the time. When a person speaks about something constantly and he can't stop talking about it, that shows that he loves that thing. That's the idea behind it. According to the Zohar, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, used to start every conversation with the words Mo'ahavti sorasecha kol yom misichasi. Now, according to that Zohar, I think I have a grape shot. Rabbi Yehuda was known as Rabbi Yehuda Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom. It's brought in the Gemara Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, with the whole Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Why was he called Rosh HaMedabrim, says the Gemara? Because he was talking about the Romans, and the Romans made him the Rosh HaMedabrim because he spoke good things about the Roman nation.
He was also the Nasi, so it made sense that he was the first person
Rabbi Yehuda? No, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. This is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloy.
Oh, okay.
Rabbi Eloy. But he's known as the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom. So why Rosh HaMedabrim? Because he spoke good things about the Romans. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai spoke terrible things about the Romans, and that's why he was sentenced to be killed. Rabbi Yossi was quiet. I think I have another shot. Rabbi Yehuda is known as Rosh HaMedabrim. The reason why we took it is because the first things he said was Ma'ahavti Sorasecha Kol Yom Misichasi. Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom, the first thing that he used to talk about was this type of thing, and that made him into a Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom.
Was he telling the truth? About the Romans?
Which one? I think he really meant it. Yeah, I do believe he meant it.
The Milo's that.
I think he really meant it.
Is that a person who sees the glass half full or half empty, or is that like?
I think more than that. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said he was dead wrong. Rabbi Yossi didn't have an opinion, but Rabbi Yehuda saw it as a good thing.
You could probably compare it to certain ideological disagreements there are nowadays amongst.
Well, think about it. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Beis Mabeis, Gimel Amud Aleph, literally throws out Rabbi Yehuda's suggestion is what the Romans say, La'asid Lavo, and Hashem says, why do you do these things? And they say, we did it for the Jews, we did it, you know, to help us, whatever it is. And it's rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it seems, it's interesting, it's the exact same wording of that Gemara as what Rabbi Yehuda said, and the Gemara seems to make the discourse like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, it could be that Gemara was written by a disciple of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai.
Or that it could have been that he was referring to one specific thing, like in the future, that, no, they had selfish intentions in what they did. It wasn't...
It was those words, literally. We made bathhouses for them to be able to pleasure themselves, and we made shukos in order for them to get what they need. It's literally the exact same words of Rabbi Yehuda. That's the only reason
why.
Learning
that Gemara and thinking... Okay, they did those things for all those reasons, but they still did them and people benefited from
and
them.
And they still
so
benefited. There's something good
thing
that comes out, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still said no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no, you did it for selfish reasons, and that's it.
But that's Hashem didn't actually say something, it was the opinion of
whatever
was
it was, whoever was writing it. And that's that. So that's a good question, but regardless, it means that the Gemara is going against.
Roads. I mean, the Romans did do pretty awesome things for the world.
Oh, man, you're Rabbi Yehuda right now. What is Rabbi Shimon?
I'm just saying, like, you know, they
I hear what you're saying. But regardless, that's how the Gemara came out. That's what I'm saying. So in that sense, it seems the Gemara goes with Rabbi Shimon. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda was still called Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom. He's still a tremendous Tana who we Paskin-like. You know, so it's not like we're dealing with nobody.
The Romans also did a lot of very evil things. They destroyed their Samigdash. They killed a lot of people.
No question. Meaning when you're dealing with the Roman nation, you're dealing with destruction, right? That's what really is supposed to, the construction that they made. Their excuses may be that. But again, just going with the wording of the Gemara, it seems that the Gemara is rejecting Rabbi Yehuda's position. But yeah, I'm sorry? That's what Hadrian said. From my enemies, right, your mitzvot makes me wiser. Because it's going to be with me forever. I mean, I studied my enemies, says the Mi'am Lois, in order to see how well they go through their evil deeds and whatever it is. And I took note of all their preparation, their dedication, their forethought, and I did the same thing. I did everything for mitzvos. I used what they had. If a person's going to spend all night long doing averus, then I'm going to spend all my night doing mitzvos. That's what he said. Mekom lam dai iskalti, I learned from everyone. All of my teachers, kedev osecha sichali, because your laws were what I talked about to everybody. I had many, many teachers. Rabbi Cohn once told this to me, and it's so important. Like, I never really thought about it before. I'm now at weddings often sitting at a table with a bunch of rabbis, whether I know them or not, whatever it is, but I usually find myself with a bunch of rabbis, right? It's extremely boring, unless you already have prepared for yourself 4 or 5 questions that you're going
to
ask rabbis
but
when
you know
you're sitting
which
down
rabbis
at their
are
table. No idea. But every wedding, it's like a different challenge. And I always, going into a wedding, I think on the way there, what kind of questions can I ask?
And even at the mixed eating weddings, you've got to sit with the rabbis.
I know. It's annoying. That's so funny. Then I ask the Rebbetzin's questions. But either way, regardless, I get an opportunity.
Well, do you think the rabbis find that miserable? Like, going to the wedding, like, oh, it's easy to ask again.
Probably. I don't care.
Shut up. Your food.
I had a whole conversation with Rabbi Schwartz about the American Indians from this. A half hour conversation.
He's an interesting guy.
Because he's the most
really
interesting in the world. He really is into the American Indians. So I asked him about different things. What lessons can we learn out of the Iroquois?
I knows, like, the difference between all of
these. He knows everything. The man is a...
No, I know he's brilliant.
Expert,
I know
he knows expert crazy in stuff, all of these. Yeah, expert in all these things. So
like
I asked
about
that.
And, like,
he told me great stuff. I'm telling you, that I was just sitting next to Rev Levitansky, the Menahel and Towels in Cleveland, and I asked him, what do you find is the biggest difference between 10 years ago, the Bachurim in your yeshiva, and 10, you know, now?
That's
the difference.
No,
no, again, but what's the difference?
What
it was interesting. It was a lot. It was good. It was all about, like, their attention span, et cetera. It was good stuff. It was really good. Either way, regardless, right, that's what I learned from. Even from Achitofel, even from Ira Yiri, those people that only taught him one or two things. Ira Yiri might have been his actual Rebbe. But either way, Mizakenim Esponon, I understood from my Zakenim Kibudecha Natsarti, I've decided to keep your commands. I was willing to keep your commands. Okay, so that's that. You obviously can learn from the experience of elders. You can learn from teachers. And also, you can force yourself to become wiser from your own history and what happened to you. And that's what I ended up getting through over here. Now, that's that. That's one of the reasons why you're allowed to make an Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Tzivanu and a Durabanu. For example, Hanukkah. Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah Tzivanu. Hadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah. How can you make that? It's only a Durabanu. And the pshat is that we are still learning how to do mitzvahs from the rabbis.
Yeah,
there still is an
issue. In America, isn't it mitzvah Baba Vera? Because it was stolen from the American Indians?
What?
Everything that we do in this country is considered as
weirdest question I've ever heard. Okay, Mikol Harachro.
I didn't think about it until you just said it.
It's not. First Rashi.
What if you live in an illegal settlement that was taken from
First
Rashi
Impressions. Yeah. Oh, very good. A legal settlement, right.
An illegal settlement.
An illegal settlement.
If you live in an illegal settlement in the West Bank that was built on Palestinian land,
that's terrible.
Question.
Absolutely terrible.
No, it's not.
We're going on. Let's go. If David would hear, he'd kill us right now. Mikol Harachro, Kalisi Ragloi. I've refrained my feet from walking in any evil path. Laman Eshmor Debrachos, so that I can keep your word. I don't have to worry about anything else. David HaMelech would say, I kept away from situations that would test me. I made sure I wasn't in the situations. We obviously know there was an issue with Bathsheba. We know there was an issue with Tziva when he accepted the Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth. But I kept myself away from bad situations because I didn't want to get involved in that. I knew that I could fail that test. I didn't turn away from Mishpatim Kiyatol Reisana because you taught me how to do the right things. How sweet to my palate, Imra Sechar, your words, Midvash Lefi. It's like honey to my mouth. That's the sweetness of it. I don't want to stop. From your laws, I will understand. I will come to more of an understanding. Therefore, I despise anybody whose way is falsehood. In other words, the people that consider themselves philosophers who are really in it for their own good. Not people who are true philosophers who try to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted out of this world. The Rambam could be considered in a way a philosopher. But a philosopher is a person who goes for an orach shaker. I want the incorrect path so that I can do what I want as opposed to learn what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me in that way.
Philosophers for somebody who has an
agenda. I'm using that word, but yes, an agenda person. That's exactly it. A person who's not doing the right way over there, and that's the false path. And so too over here, by the way, I hate the people who, when they learn Gemara, it's very, very interesting to watch sometimes. There's a reason why you learn under a Rebbe, because there are drachim in the Gemara to learn, to concentrate on, and there are things that you don't. I remember when I was in yeshiva, and I would look at it, like, I would try to do every Rishon on the Gemara I was doing. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, and go through everything, and do everything in the Kovetz Meforshim. I would spend hours on it, right? When I got to Shir, the Rebbe would only concentrate on one thing. And, like, eventually it hit me, and I went up to my Rebbe, and I was like, I just don't understand. What am I supposed to concentrate on? And he said, what I tell you to concentrate on. Until you have your own derech, right? I'm going to tell you, because otherwise there's so much to do. The minutia is out there. You could get into an orach sheker. That's the idea
wait,
of where...
I, that seems like it's a big jump. Okay, uh-huh. You're already wanting to focus on one thing, so you'll learn, you know, really, really, this really, really good instead of, like, everything in a more superficial
in a broad
way.
Sense, in a more
but
superficial
that's
way.
But is that orach sheker? It's not orach sheker. It's just
the
what you were doing in shir that time.
The orach sheker would be the incorrect path to learning the Gemara. And what I mean by that is that when going on that path, if you're doing it in the wrong way, you're getting nothing out of the Gemara. You get literally nothing.
But that's like saying somebody who learns Bikiyas or Daf Yomi is getting nothing out of it.
Oh, I hear what you're
in
saying.
A sense.
No, you are getting something just by going through the Gemara and just understanding what's going through. Unfortunately, when you go through Rishonim and you're going through it quickly just to finish it off, so to speak, to be Yotzes on the Ramban, Yotzes on the Rashba, there's minute differences between the two that you're going to miss just because you're trying to get through. And that's what it means. You're just losing out on everything. And then for that sense, you're just reading. You're not learning. That was the issue. Anyway, that's Mems. Nen, Nun, Nir L'Ragli D'Varecha, your word is like a lamp for my feet, Ordon L'Sivasi, and a light for my path. This is an awesome Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Orach Chaim HaKadosh says in the beginning of Parshas about Bechukosai, based on this pasuk, that when a person dies, if a person learned Torah, then the paths are lit up for him and he knows how to get up to Shemayim. And if you don't, you have no idea how to get up there. You can get lost on your way there. And that's what it means, so to speak, like a lost spirit. Whatever that means in a ruach, right? That there's an ability for a person to get lost. The or is right there for a person to be able to go through. I guess you can call that mitzvos as well. For non-Jews, it would be shev mitzvos b'nei noach.
What's the motivation, though?
motivation? I don't get it.
I mean, like...
Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it?
No. Like, when you get to that place, like, what's the motivation that motivates you to... Like, when you say a lost spirit that's floating around, like, what is motivating them to move right or left or up or down?
If
they don't see the light, then why do they even move one way or the other?
We don't know, but it seems weird to state. You feel like you have to go somewhere. I would assume there would be a feeling.
In the forest, there's no light. If you stand where you are forever, you're...
Well, that's all of that. Makas Choshek, yeah. Right? Like, it was so dark that they didn't even move because there's nowhere to move because there's... No reference point.
Yeah.
Nothing. No.
I think you still had a hargasha. You still had a feeling of where you wanted to go. I think that's the idea behind it. Anyway, what's a rasha like? Oh yeah, the rasha is like in the darkness, etc. When we did that.
From that kind of darkness, that
to go. I think there's more to it than just that, though. I think that's the idea of what the light refers to. Anyway, that's that. Nishpati v'kayama. Mm-hmm. And then he says an interesting line. You might remember this from the Gemara. I swore, and it was mekayim it. Lishmor mishpatei tzikacha, in order to keep your mishpatim of your tzidkos. Number one, it's when I swear something, then I'm going to fulfill it even better. That's the assumption. But it's more than just that. You take an oath to do any particular mitzvah, the gravity of the oath will force you to do the mitzvah. And for that reason, Chazal learned from this pasuk that you're allowed to take shvuas in order to do mitzvahs properly. Meaning, you can't normally swear to do a mitzvah because, right, obviously you're already chayv to do the mitzvah. Your shvuah shouldn't even be chal. Shvuah shouldn't be chal in such a case. But if you're doing it in order to be mezariz yourself, that's even better. Not only that, but it helps you with your taivas. If you have a taiva, sometimes it helps to take a shvuah, I won't do X, in order to take yourself away from that taiva.
But if you break it, it's not considered the same as breaking a real shvua.
Aren't you mushba vel mitzvah har Sinai?
Yes, but this is a there is a shvua.
So you take the shvua, but the reason you're not supposed to take a shvua is because in case you break,
you might break
shvua.
It. Right. Yeah, you're 100% right. You have to make sure that you're on the level to take the shvua and keep it. Like, I hear what you're saying.
But I thought you're supposed to do it because it's supposed to help you break tithes or help you.
It should.
Mitzvahs you can do shvua.
Right, it should. Because you're a man of your word. You're going to do what you say. It's harder for you to stay away from a certain avera, but when you say you're going to do something, you do it.
But there's a.
But if you break it, you're chayv doubly. So yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Doesn't the Gemara say for mushba v'omer v'harsinai?
This is part of the issue. It's learned from this pasuk. This is exactly where it is. The kasha is, does it apply in a lo sase like an ase? And that's really the difference between, does it apply in an ase because you're being mezariz yourself? Right? So then it applies. By a lo sase, maybe it's mushba v'omer v'harsinai not to do that. So there's a difference. That's why I said specifically swearing the taiva off, as opposed to swearing the Avera off. To swear I will not eat pig would not work, but to swear that I won't be around somewhere that serves pig, right? That would be a good shvua, for sure chal according to everyone. That'll be chal in that way. Either way, na'anesi ad ma'od, I've been afflicted, humbled very much, Hashem. Chayeni kidbarachan, let me live according to your word. Let me live in the right way. Granted, I'm not going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, but na'anesi, I've been lowered myself. And David HaMelech is saying regarding himself, right, he has been exceedingly humbled throughout his life. Nidvos piritzei na'ashem, accept with favor all the Davos of my mouth, and teach me more of your mitzvos, how to do it properly. My soul is constantly in my hand, yet I have never forgotten your Torah. My desire for Torah, my love for Torah, is even in the most, when I'm in danger of my life, I'm careful never to forget it. I'm never going to forget anything that's there. I'm always going to have my soul in my hand to be able to do it properly. That's that. Okay, now, nothing we're showing Pachli. The Rishayim have made traps for me, snares for me, Kedachalosa Isi, but I won't turn away from your laws whatsoever. Now, those snares seem to be dishonest judges, says the Medrash. I still would not stray from your commands, even if everything was about doing X, Y, and Z. Nachalti ed vosecha, I've taken as a heritage or as a nachla your mitzvos olam forever, kison li behema, because they are truly the rejoice of my house, of my heart. I'm sorry, they're a joy that I have. And that joy is something that you can give as an inheritance to your children. Chazal learned from over here, you want to give a true nachla to your children. It's not about the riches. It's about giving them something that they can be happy with. Make them happy with where they are and what they're doing. Natisi li belasukukacha, I've turned my heart, I've inclined my heart to do your mitzvos. Olam Ekev, forever, step by step. Not going to be able to do it all at once. And this is really what Yehuda stood for. I talked about this on Thursday night, this past Thursday night. Yehuda stood for taking it little by little by little. He doesn't jump like Yosef does. He's the one who takes it little by little in order to observe the mitzvahs properly. That's how he's able to do a mitzvah. Even the mitzvahs that you have to step on, like the Ekev mitzvah. So like you'll talk about in the Parshas Ekev, those mitzvahs that people are dosh ba'akev of, they throw around. Nonetheless, say afim senesi, I have hated irresolution. I'm sorry. V'so ruskal hafti. Yet nonetheless, I have loved your Torah. The people who are just dwelling on their own thoughts or doing what they think is the best thing to do, those people I don't like. I think that they're doing the wrong thing. The wording is, I hate them. That's a strong wording over here, but that's what he felt about
these
people.
What's the translation of
Seafim? Seafim is the irresolute, divided heart. it's translated over here. That's how they divide it. That's how they translate it.
Maybe
on the scale,
you could interpret it as saying he doesn't like machlokas, but even if it ends in a teku, Torah's ta'afti, I still love your Torah.
The question is, like, let's look at that word se'ifim. It clearly is related to the word se'if, like we have in Shulchan Aruch, like a chapter. So something that is split. So it's not bad, a split heart, a split idea. Dave, do you have the article there?
Yeah, it says plotters.
Plotters. Oh. But it's seemingly, even, wait, what's the shoresh, though?
It says, I hate the plotters of evil, but I love your Torah.
So I still think that the main shoresh must be from the word se'if as in chapter, as in splitting it up. We'd have to see what the Mitzudas David says over here. But that seems to be what had happened. Either way, regardless, it means somebody who just cannot make a decision, maybe. Somebody who's divided, somebody who's hated, etc., things like that. Anyway, Sisri Magini Ato, you are my refuge and my shield. Sisri is, you protect me, right, my secret areas. Magini, and you are my shield. Lidvorchi Yicholti, and I put my hope in your word all day long. Surmi Vani Mareim, keep all the evildoers away from you, Atzer Mitzvah Salahai, so that I can keep the mitzvahs of Hashem. The evildoers are going to be Doig and Achitofel. People like that, the people that are do absolute evil, keep those people away from me. I don't want them anywhere near me. Samchenikim Rosecha, uphold me, support me, like your word, Ve'achiyav Altavishenim Misivri. Let me live. Do not put me to shame out of the hope that maybe something good will happen over here. Otherwise, I'm just going to be considered like I'm dead. So, Adeni Vilashea, support me and I will be saved. I'll occupy myself. I'll be involved with your laws at all times. I'll be able to do your mitzvos at all times. So, Lisa Kol Shogim Bechukecha, trodden down, stepped upon all those who stray from your laws. Ki Sheker Tarmisum, for their trickery is all filled with falsehoods and nothing good inside them. There's no real reason for them to do anything. Sigim hishpatu kol rishei aretz, you've purged, you've destroyed all of the evil people of the land, like sigim, like dross that you have on like silver, which is why I love your laws. Somar mi pachtecha visari, my flesh has been shaking out of fear of whom you should be raising, and I was still afraid of all of your mitzvahs over here. So it's interesting. It's a well-known fact, says Malnoy, is that when one petitions a king for something, that person will know fear in his heart upon coming into the king's presence. This is true even if the petitioner is close to the throne. The man coming into the king's presence has wasted royal funds. He's definitely going to be afraid. It's going to be even worse if he was entrusted with the royal treasures and he stole them. His dread will be even greater if he passed on the treasures to an enemy of the kid itself. Beside the shame and dread, he will be terrified of being caught in the web of his sin. That's what David Melech was worried about. I'm afraid of everything that could have happened over here. I have the king's treasures, as in the neshama, and the holy mitzvahs that we're allowed to do in the Torah itself. Maybe I caused not just something down here, but I gave over power to the satan, as opposed to the kedusha that I could get. That's what I'm afraid of. That's the idea behind it. Now, Ayin, Asis Mishpat Vatzedek, I've done justice and righteousness, Bal Tanichin Elosh Goy, do not leave me to my enemies, to my oppressors. Now, we know that David Melech had done this thing called Mishpat Vetzedek. What's Mishpat Vetzedek? And we spoke about this before. He judged people and then gave tzedakah to the person who needed money afterward. If he caused somebody to become guilty, instead of just saying, you're guilty, go pay the guy, he made sure that that person had money to pay back. So there was something that was given paid back. However, he couldn't just deal with that. Don't let evil people come up to me, because otherwise, people could just make up whatever they want and go up to him and be like, yeah, you owe me $100,000. Because if David Melech is just saying, like, oh yeah, we'll take on, you know, whatever is going to be, I'll just pay whoever is coming to court, two people could just make up a judgment and just come to court, and David Melech will pay for him. So that couldn't happen. So he said, you got to keep those people away from you. Arov Avdecha Latov, be your servant's guarantor for good. Al Yashkuni Zedim, do not allow the sinners to oppress me. Some say the word Arov, as in the word Arev. Allow it to be sweetened, to be improved, right? That the good that your servant has, allow it to keep being good and to keep being around good people instead of bad people. My eyes, they pine to see your salvation. To the words of your righteousness. Do with your servant according to your chesed. Teach me your laws. I am your servant. Allow me to understand that I know your laws. It is a time to do something toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that way, there is a way of voiding your Torah. Okay, now, first of all, this pasuk is unfortunately abused by many sects of Judaism that allow them to say, if it's Eis Lasos LaShem, you got to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then forget about the Torah. You're allowed to throw out the Torah completely. Now, although we hold that there are ways of knocking down the Torah in order to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yet the rules are definitely not mentioned directly, or at least I wouldn't be there. I would say that you'd have to go through the Rambam, and see when are you allowed and when are you not allowed, right, to get around. Not regarding this pasuk. I mean, throughout all the halachos. I don't know if there's a specific Rambam that mentions this thing itself. The point is...
There's an example in the Gemara that it talks about.
It's by... it was by Boaz. I forgot what,
right,
though.
It's at the end of Brachos, right?
Yeah. It's about Boaz. That's the famous one. What's the line that it says over there? Okay, let's give an example. Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel, right? That's a famous one.
But he was
one.
A Navi, so you get a Nebuah. Hashem told him to do
Boaz
it.
Boaz was also a Navi.
Okay, but when is it given to Sanhedrin to do that, or...
I don't know.
Even
I don't know if it is.
Talmudic, is it ever?
Yeah, I don't know if it ever was. If it was ever given to anybody but a Navi to be able to say, Yisrael Hashem Efer Torah Secha. Maybe in a way, Yisrael Hashem Efer Torah Secha is like when you see people are, you know, you have a certain halacha where a person has to give up money, but like you have poor people and rich people. Maybe at a point you say to the rich person, Yisrael Hashem Efer Torah Secha, get rid of it. Maybe something like that. I don't know. I honestly don't know. The rules, I don't know. That I have no idea. I don't even know who would know this. Should we call up like Rabbi First, let's say, and say, Rabbi First, how do you apply the law? Yisrael Hashem Efer Torah Secha? He'll be able principle. To give me an example. Yeah, well, I don't know if there is a principle for it, of how you use it.
No,
I'm not
it
so sure.
It's a principle, not a law. I would say it's more of a principle of applying.
That's what you're saying.
Replication.
Oi, is there a case where they said over here, this is a line over here, sometimes Rabbi Akiva, when he was still in anguish about not having studied Torah, once finding a corpse, he carried on his shoulders a distance of 4 mil to give it a burial. Then the Chazal informed him that with every step he took, it was as if he had shed blood. For according to Torah law, an abandoned corpse, meaning a mace mitzvah, gains possession of the spot it lies on as its burial ground, and Rabbi Akiva didn't do that. But that's not Isla Sosa Shemi Firu Torah Secha. That's just like he messed up on the mitzvah and did something wrong. It's a bad example, I think. All right, here's what we have to do. Believe me, we'll have to do this maybe tonight or tomorrow. We have to find where the Gemara brings up Isla Sosa Firu Torah Secha. I remember there's
what?
A Gemara that says that you can darshan this either way. Isla Sosa, there's a time for Hashem, therefore, Hey Firu Torah Secha, or Hey Firu Torah Secha. When Isla Sosa Hashem, that's a Gemara. But the question is, where is it going? What's the case? Okay, Bli Nether, we'll talk about that Bli Nether next week. Okay, now have to Sezechem Yisav Mipaz. And therefore, I have loved your Torah more than I love gold and fine gold. You know, I don't know what that means exactly. But that's the idea behind it. I love the Torah more than anything else. Because listen, gold is not going to help me on the Day of Judgment, the ultimate Day of Judgment. I can't bribe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Torah will. Okay, Kopi Kudai, Kopi Kudai, Kol Yishorti, all of your commands, everything that is right, Korach Sheker Senesi, yet I hated the Orach Sheker. Now, pay. Plos edo secha. Your laws are wondrous. Okay, Nitzarasu Nashi, and therefore my soul has kept them. Right? A young kid does not forget the first time he sees an elephant, let's say, or something wondrous, like a crazy, miraculous thing that he sees. Something awesome. Right? When he sees that, he's like, oh, I remember the first time that I saw this. I remember the first time I saw that.
First time you went to a Bulls game in the 90s.
I was too young. Yeah, but I do hear you. I don't remember.
100 to 90.
Yeah, 190. You remember that?
And then I was like, Game 2 of the 91 Finals, and the Bulls beat.
So there you go. Look at that. That works out well. But I don't remember those things. Maybe I didn't think it was as important at the time. That's a possibility. I don't know if I really considered it more chashuv. But regardless, there's always certain things that you think there. If every bit of Torah was that way, you wouldn't forget anything. There's no way to forget it. There's nothing you can do. Even if you wanted to forget, you couldn't do it because it's so important. Pesach devarecha yair mevim psayim. The opening of your words allows us to have light. It gives understanding to the people that are dumb, even those people that are out there. It allows you to understand its brilliance a little bit more. A simpleton, once he gets something, all of a sudden becomes smarter when he learns Torah. Pifa artu vashafa. I opened my mouth wide and I panted. Because I wanted your mitzvah so badly. As if to say, I was like a starving individual, starving, waiting for something to eat. And that's what it means when I'm waiting to be able to have the Torah itself. And the pshat is, it's got to be like breathing. The same way you open up your mouth for fresh air, right, in order to breathe, so too when it comes to Torah, that's the idea of how it has to be over here. Pnei Eli, turn to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chaneni, and give me grace, kimish b'lo avei shemecha, and kimish bat, as it, like the judgment, lo avei shemecha, for anybody who loves your name. Allow me to get it as a gift almost, as if I deserve this in order to get something from you. Kuf lamed gimel. Pamayachim b'mrasecha, allow my steps to be done properly in your words. V'altashul b'kolavim, do not allow any sin to have any dominion over me whatsoever. Pideini me'oishek adam, save me from the oppression of man. V'eshmer pikudecha, so that I can observe your mitzvos. Panecha er b'avdecha, may your face shine upon your servant. V'amdini z'chukecha, allow me to learn your laws. Pal gemayim yordu enai, right? Rivers of water run down my eyes. Alo shamru sarasecha, because I was not able to keep, or others were not able to keep, your Torah itself. I couldn't believe. Maybe it was because I wasn't able to do it properly, but really it seems like it's saying because others weren't able to keep it properly. The story is told about a certain woman who made a feast whenever a righteous man died. And she wept copious tears whenever a wicked man died. Whenever that happened, they asked her, what's going on? She said, when a tzaddik dies, I rejoice over the reward that he's going to receive. But when a rasha dies, I'm so sad over what's going to happen to him, lasad lavo. David says, because these people did not keep the Torah, I cried. I cried over them. I couldn't believe they weren't able to do so. That's that. Rabbeinu Yonah says, river waters, the reason why is the only way to get rid of any bad sights that you have seen, things that you should not have seen that are usher to see, that you see, the only way to get rid of them is by shedding tears. The tears are like fire in your eyes that destroy the images from your eyes. That's what a person can do. So to get rid of that blemish, that's what you're going to do. Tzadik ato Hashem, Yashem Yishvitach, you are a tzadik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your judgments are righteous over here. You know, when a king of Basavadam is angry, his rage can bring absolute death. Right? It doesn't make a difference what's going to happen over there. That's the idea. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would never do that. Even in your anger, you don't just stam kill just because. Tzivisa tzedek edosecha, you have commanded that your testimonies have been tzedek, have been righteous. Ve'emunah ma'od, they're very faithful, good faith inside them. Tzimsasni kinasi, my kina, my zeal, right, has consumed me. Kishachu debrecha toroi, because my adversaries, my enemies, have forgotten your words, and I have been able to keep it. Maybe this is reference to the enemies of David HaMelech. Maybe it's ours, lasad lavo. Trufa imrasecha, your word is refined, ma'od, very much so. Ve'avdecha yivah, your servant, meaning me, loves it very, very much. Yalkut says in the name of Yavin, the words of Torah are like food delicacies, wine, honey, and even peppers. I don't know why peppers over here, right? But something that's used over here. The Torah, therefore, is going to be considered like refined, just like there's revealed part that looks good, and something that it does to your body as well, something good for your body. That's what Torah is. Torah has the ability to, number one, make machima spesi, and also brings more into you, refines you on the inside. I'm young, small, despised, said David. Yet I have never forgotten any of your commands by itself. Your righteousness is a tzedek, a righteousness that lasts forever. And your Torah is absolute emes. This line we obviously say at Mincha and Shabbos. You say this also, right? Yeah. You say it in the opposite order than the Ashkenazim right. Do, though. Yeah, we say it in the opposite. I don't know why. That's weird. Either way, but this Tzidkos Chatzar Olam is referring to Tzidik Adin, acceptance of the judgment of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Yeah, whatever you decide, we do. And this is my pasuk over here, though it starts with the tzadi, ends with the yud. Saru matzok mitzuni, I have found trouble and anguish, mitzvot secha shashua, yet the mitzvos, your mitzvos, are my delight. That's what I delight in all day long. These are my, this is what I go ahead and do. You know it's good, even though bad things have happened, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all you desire to do is to learn your Torah, do your Torah, and nothing else. That's a good one. I like that one. That's a good description of my life. Because I work for Skokie, so it's perfect. Tzedek, tzedek edivo secha, your testimonies are righteous, le'olam, and they last forever. Havineni v'achia, allow me to understand it so that I can live even further. Okay, we're up to Kuf. I've called out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all of my heart. Answer me, Hashem. Your laws I will keep. Now, the line over here, if you notice, karasi b'cholev, I've called out with all my heart. It's not saying I davened. I called out. Sometimes just a scream is good enough. Sometimes you don't have to do it in the normal way.
Also?
Maybe. I don't know where. Where would it be?
At the very end of Nilo. Right before Kaddish.
You know, it's possible. No, not before Kaddish. Maybe in parts of the Slichos that we say in the middle of Shemoneh
Esrei. We say it seven times right before.
Before like Hashem Elokim?
We say Hashem Elokim, but we say it twice seven times. So it's like 14 times, mm-hmm. And then we say this probably seven times.
No, we don't do that. No, this is definitely not there. I thought maybe it would be in the stuff in the middle because there's a shot. I don't remember it. This line is just like Karuv Hashem L'chol Karuv, what we use over there. But yeah.
And also the pasuk of Le'olam Hashem Devarcha Nitzav Hashem.
Oh, Nitzav Hashem, that we say.
12 times?
No, no, once.
We do that 12 times every time we open the Aron on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
We do it on Tashlich also.
Oh, well, there's Tashlich.
Yeah.
We read Zohar at Tashlich.
Ah, there you go. Krasich Hosheini, I called out to you. Save me. So that I can keep your edus, I can keep your laws. That's what he said. Kidamti v'nashef, I got up in the twilight, v'ashaveh lidvorch yicholti, and I davened to you, for your word I have hope. Now this line, obviously, by neshef. Neshef is twilight. Now, when is Neshef? The Gemara has a bit of a machlokas, right? Is this Neshef of the evening, Neshef of the morning? It seems pretty obvious over here, though, that it's referring to the morning. But the problem is that he already said, Chatzos Laila Akum Lahodus Lach. I get up at Chatzos Laila. So wait, do I get up there? Do I get up there? So different answers from the Gemara, right? Some say that he got up really at Neshef of the night. And then Chatzos is when he fully got up. Like he would doze off a little bit, right? He like doze a little bit.
He got up at Neshef of the night. When did he go to sleep?
I guess like a little bit earlier, before Shkia maybe, like had a nap. And then he'd learn, and then he'd, you know, like, then nod off a little bit. I know it's interesting because you're supposed to daven Marv before Chatzos, so.
But he didn't daven Marv. Marv wasn't established.
Yeah, of course not. But, well, no, because you still had, even before the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, you still had Daniel davening three times, which is where we see. So I guess but they could have had that.
I mean, could be that, was that just his practice because he decided for himself that's what he does?
We know it's based on the Avos, so maybe they still did something.
That could be why the Sanhedrin established three Shmon Esrei a day, and you have the Korban Tamishal Boker,
and then they made it. We'd have to find a Raya, and I don't think there's any Raya that they had.
Daniel lived after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so he had to daven three times. There was a Mishkan in the time of David HaMelech that was burning Korbanos, so maybe he didn't have to daven three times.
Because of the Korbanos?
Right.
It was understood that there was, because there's still mamados, no? Normally have mamados?
In the time of Darmelch, there was.
Huh.
In the time of Daniel, there wasn't. They were exiled.
That'd be an interesting call. I don't know, honestly. You need to find a proof or something like that. It seems from the Gemaras and Chav Zayin, right, in Brachos, it seems that they were keeping all three tefillahs, and they were doing all three tefillahs as if it was right there. Not positive, though. That's something that we'd have to go through. Do we have an actual proof that anybody did three tefillahs?
Other than Daniel,
you had Chana, because that's where we learn most of our tefillahs from.
We have people davening, but right. Do we have people having this?
No, you only have Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. That's that, because that's where the Gemara comes from.
The Gemara only says they daven once, and each one of them did one
each
thing.
One of them won. No, because Avram also did Mincha, Miki Mishachri Kasli. That's what the Gemara says about Avram regarding Mincha. Marv might have been that Rishus, so to speak, at that time.
I don't know if they had Talmudic disputes.
And
yet
Yaakov himself, the reason why he davened Marv is because he was supposed to be davening Mincha, and the sun set on him, and he created the tefillah of Marv, because he missed Mincha. That's what the Gemara says regarding him. So we know that, but there's no Raya from the Avos. The Kasha is from somebody else later on. Is there somebody else later on who went there? You need a Rishon to answer that. All right, anyway. And then it says, Kidwein Ashmuros. Then my eyes were up for the Ashmuros. This is also in that Gemara over there in Brachos Daf Gimel. L'siach b'imrasecha. To talk about your laws. But what does that mean, Ashmuros? It seems two night watches altogether. Meaning, a watch could be either 3 hours or 4 hours, depending on the opinion of the Gemara, right? Whether it's 3 or 4 hours. Right. If you say Ashmuros is two Ashmuras, he got up at Chatzos, and he was up for two watches, 6 hours, 3 hours each, that's good. If it's Ashmuros, then he got up two Ashmuros earlier than any other kings, because the kings got up in the third hour of the day, which means he was up for 6 hours of the night and 2 hours of the morning before any of the kings got up. That's 8, 4 hours each, so two Ashmuros of that time. That's how the Gemara answers it up, right, how it was. Another answer, Ravashi says, Ashmuros is just 1.5 Ashmuros. He was up for 1.5 of them, even though a real Ashmura is only 4 hours.
Koli Shimakim. Or you could say that Kidamti Baneshev, meaning he's already up, but Kidamti means I went first Baneshev, meaning before anybody else got up, I was davening. Because I was already up by Chatzot. It's just another way of saying it.
Mm.
Everybody wakes up at the sunrise.
I'm going to go with the Gemara, because the Gemara asked this as a stira in answers, right, about what he was doing during that time. That's the only reason why. But Kidamti does definitely sound like Kadam, like he got up early. But I hear what you're saying. Like I was up earlier then, right? I was earlier then.
First. Kamti means I got up.
Yeah, I hear you. Koli Shima Kichastecha, my voice.
He could have used Kamti because this is a kuf. Kamti would have worked, but he didn't say Kamti, he said Kidamti.
Yeah, the word Kidmu, but then still Kidmu, ain't I? It definitely means preceded, went before.
But that you could already answer, like the Gemara says, Kidmu, ain't I, Ashmuros. I mean, I was Ashmuros before everybody else.
Yeah, but if I'm using that Gemara, I'd use it for that one also. It's just the same word, Kidamti and Kidmu. And that's the reason why. Both of them seem to be that way. I hear what you're saying, though. Why not Kamti? Why not use that? What were the words before? Did we have the word Kamti?
Not in this one, because all the proofs
are
here.
Yeah, all of them right here. Koli Shima Kichasdecha, my voice, here, according to your Chesed Hashem, Kimishatecha Chayini, allow me to live according to Mishpatim, Kavru Rod Fezima. Those who chase after these types of intrigue, they're close by, they're far away from your Torah, they don't care about your Torah. They're plotting evil, they're doing all these things, don't help them. Karvatal Hashem, you're so close, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mizdecha, MS, all of your mitzvahs are considered the truth. Kedem Yadatim Yedosecha, I have, of old, I've already known about your laws, ki lo lemis adatom. You have founded them forever. You have allowed them to be in the world forever and ever and ever. And that's the idea. I've come to know that the Torah is a ladder, so to speak, to climb up toward what you have over here. That's the idea behind it. And that the world exists because of the Torah itself. That's the idea. Some say, this is the Maimar Chazal that helped people learn, kedam yadatim edosecha, before I was in the world, I knew your mitzvos, because I learned in the womb. That's where they learn it from. That's where the Jewish comes from. Reish, re'e ani v'chaltzeni, see my affliction and save me, because I have not forgotten your Torah, right? I want my old Torah, my yoke of Torah and mitzvos, to be above any other yoke that I might have. Riva rivi, fight my fights. Ugaleni, redeem me, lim raschal hayeni, allow me to live according to your word. Rachol mirashayim Yeshua, far away from the Roshayim is any Yeshua, kichu kechelo derashu, because they don't search out your words. They don't care about the Torah. They don't care about anything else that you have. So keep them away. Rachamecha Rabbi Mashem, your mercies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are many. Kimishvetecha Chayini, allow me to live according to your Mishpatim and everything that you have over there. Allow me to get a Yeshua. Rabbim Roid Fai Vitzorai Medevo Sechon Lo Nizizi. So many are my chases, those who chase me and those who are my enemies. From your laws, I never turn. I will not go away anywhere whatsoever. And that's the idea of Doeg and Achitofo, Reisi Vogdim, Vaskotato. I've seen traitors, and I fought with them. Asherim Raskol Lo Shemaru, they never kept your word. They never fulfilled the mission that was supposed to be the Re'ei Kipudecha Ahavti. See that I have loved your pikudim, your commands, your mitzvot. Hashem kechas chayeni. Hashem, allow me to live according to your chesed. Rosh Tovar Chaim Esolom Kol Mishpat Tzidkecha. The beginning of your word is truth, and that's Bereishis Bara Elokim, right? The Sofei Tevez is MS. Ula Olam Kol Mishpat Tzidkecha. Really, everything deals with truth. Everything is filled with MS. Every word that you have over here is that concept. Sarim Ridafuni Chinam. Now we're on to Shin and Sin. The officers have chased after me for no reason. Midvar Chapachet Libi, from your law, my heart is so afraid. Whether it's referring to Avshalom, right, or something else, who knows what it's referring to over here. Maybe it's even referring to the Malachim that tried to destroy Yerushalayim when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to, instead of championing the cause of Bnei Yisrael, helping them out when things were going badly. But that's the idea behind it. He said, Asas Anochi Yimrasecha, I will be happy with all of your word. Kimotze Shalo Rav. As if I found abundant spoils. I found tremendous treasure over here, right? If you go to a treasure and you sit there and you're like, you want to put it into yourself, but you don't have enough bags to carry all this treasure in, you feel horrible. You're like, I can't believe I'm not able to get all of this stuff that I'm missing out on. How come I can't get it?
You kill the 800-pound bison, but you can only carry 200
pounds. Oh, that's the worst. Such a waste, right? Such a waste. That's why the Indians hate us, right? That's the idea. That's the pshat. You look at the Torah and you're like, oh my gosh, I can only carry this? This is all I'm going to get out of this? They can't believe it. They can't understand it. Now, there is a mushel. It's a famous mushel. Poor men dreamt that in the capital city underneath a certain bridge there was a huge treasure, right? The guy ignored the dream. He got the dream a second time, a third time. He's like, finally, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go search under the bridge. I'm going to go. So he went to the big city. He was a very poor man, but he took the time off. He went to the big city, went under the bridge, and started digging. Now, that bridge happened to be right by the king's palace. So a guardian of the king, guard of the king, came by and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm digging because I had a dream and I saw there was a treasure under there, but he's embarrassed now, you know, telling it over to somebody else. The guy's like, you crazy Jew. You know, I also had a dream and I dreamt that there was a guy by the name of Moshe Ben Yoel who lives in a certain city called blah, 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 right? And there's a treasure underneath his oven. You think I'm going there to go check out his treasure? Like, obviously not. I'm not going there. You're a crazy little guy. So the guy's like, that's my name and that's where I live and that's my oven. Went back home, right? Ran back to his house, right? Went in search, and he immediately found the treasure. Tells us that everything attained through study and application, right, is not just there through human power. It involves gifts that are being given to it. And then you got to put in the toil, but you have to put in the toil, and then you get the gift. It's interesting, right? He didn't get a dream about his own house. He had to go somewhere in order to get the toil, in order to go find it somewhere else. And that's what it means. It's a find, so to say. Kemotzei Shalom Rav. It's like you're finding something, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting it inside your hands himself. Sheker is Nitzvah Seiva. I have despised Sheker, and I've abominated it. Torah Shkol Havzi. I've loved your Torah. Shavi Yomi Eloticha. 7 times a day I've praised you, Al Mishpatei Tzidkecha, because of all the Mishpatim that you have.
We should be davening 7 times a day.
Oh, if only. Many times, some say that it refers to many mitzvos, right? Whether it's referring to tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzos, etc. Some say it's the 7 brachos of Kriya Shema that we say every day, three in the morning, 4 in the evening, right? 7 mitzvos that you do every day, right? Twice you say Shema, 3 times you say Shemon Esrei, 2 times you do Birchus Hamazon, because you assume you only did that. 7 brachos of Shemon Esrei and Shabbos, the Yetzer Hara might be a reference to the 7 times.
I don't like the 7 over here. You do in a day because
you assume you do more.
Well, I would assume, I mean, you're supposed to do more than that.
Yeah, aside from that, it's 2 that are D'oraisa, 3 that are D'Rabbanan. Yeah, the 3 that are D'Rabbanan, Berachas Hamazon is again D'Oraisa. That's a strange one, I don't know.
Berachas, if you read it,
it's a line from the Midrash from Rabbi Chanan in the name of Rabbi Nechemiah. So the kasha is what exactly he meant
well,
by that.
Well, maybe it's hilal ticha, meaning praise you, meaning tefillah is not a praise. It's
so in other words, tefillah, so to speak. So you have two of Shema, and that's that. Shalom Rav Lo Avisor Sechol. A lot of abundant peace to those who love your Torah. Ein lo mechshol, they will never stumble, or anything will go wrong. Sibarti l'shuos Hashem, I've hoped for your salvation, Hashem. Mitzvah Sechol Sicha, and I've done your mitzvahs. Shom en afshi edo Sechol, I've been able to keep your mitzvahs of Avei Ma'od, and I've loved them very, very much, doing everything you have to do. Shom arti b'kudecha v'edo Sechol, kikod v'rachai negdecho. I've kept your mitzvahs and your edus, because all of my ways are opposite you. I've been able to do everything. I wouldn't even kill people without a beis din, even though I could have, right? Because of mitzvahs, because of going up because of a king. Nonetheless, I wouldn't do it. Now let's finish this off. Tikar v'nasu l'vnecha. I'm going to allow my song of prayer to be brought in front of you, Hashem. Kidvor chavineni. Allow me to understand what your word is saying. Tavol t'chinasu l'vnecha kim v'shalatzileni. Allow my supplication to be in front of you, like your word. Save me. Tabanas v'asai. Let my lips utter that praise. Tehila kislam deni chukecha. Because you have taught me all of the proper mitzvos. Ta'an l'shoni imrasach kimo zachat tzadeh. Let my tongue proclaim your word. For all of your commandments, your mitzvos, are considered tzedek ti yadchala. Zreni, allow your hand to help me. Because I've chosen, right, your word or your laws. To ati l'shuascha, I've desired your Yeshua Hashem v'so rascha shashuai. Your Torah is what I play with to be able to do more and more. Tchi nafshi zalekam mishpatecha yazuni. Allow my soul to live and praise you. Let your mishpatim only help me. To yisik selved. Yet I've been astray like a sheep that is lost. Bakish avdecha. Search for your servant. Look for me. Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'sechel lo shachalti. Because I've not forgotten any of your mitzvahs. Just like a flock is always searched for by the shepherd, I need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to search for me like a shepherd would search for his flocks. We'll stop with that.